Welcome to the Pastor's Thoughts. You know, last week I talked about, or I made a statement, or a question, I guess, does the devil go to church? I don't think he goes to Bethel. I'm pretty sure about that, because if he ever does come there, our prayer warrior and our saints at Bethel will then chase him out. But you know, there's a lot of churches, and the church simply means the gathering of the called out ones. And we all gather to worship God in spirit and in truth. But the devil does go to church. He is there. We are in spiritual warfare all the time, because he's always trying to deceive. And the Bible says that he's roaring like a lion to deceive all that he can. And so we're grateful that you tune in. You know, we spend a lot of time in the Holy Spirit school learning about the personhood of the Holy Spirit. And that's why I'm saying that if the devil does go to church, we need to learn to recognize him. We need to learn to have spiritual discernment to be able to tell. Jesus said to do, test the spirit and make sure it's of me. If it doesn't line up with God's word and Jesus' teaching, you got to be worried about it, because you can fall from grace. You say, well, some people say once saved, always saved. No, not really, because you can fall from grace. You can get involved in something, and then you say, oh my goodness gracious, why did I ever do that? Here's the secret, and here's the key, that Satan will try to keep all that stuff over your head. But we have a resolution. Jesus said to repent. Turn from your wicked ways. Now, the world is out there trying to suck us in, and the television and the movies and all that stuff, it's there. And you can get sucked into it real easy, because Satan teaches and tries to possess a different gospel than what the Lord Jesus Christ is. And he'll try to trick you. He'll use emotions and misdirected feelings. But if you repent, just take turn and say, Lord, I need to turn. I'm going in the wrong direction. Help me, Holy Ghost, as Bishop Henderson used to say. And he will help you to get back on the right track. You see, repentance is the key. When we realize, and sometimes we can confuse our conscience with the world or the things, but really our conscience, if you have the Holy Spirit living in you, and he'll live in you if just accept him and just say, Lord, I want your Holy Spirit to live within me, he will give you some of that spiritual discernment that, like, we call it a conscience. Well, I shouldn't be doing that. And then we can make a decision whether to do it or not to do it. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He keeps us on the right path. So be spiritually in tune and try to understand and study God's word. Now, you don't want to study the devil, that's for sure. But God gave us an awful lot of warnings about the deception that Satan can put on us. Because, you know, he loves to mix it up. He tries to blend evil with good, and his deceptive powers can make it convincing. But he is a deadly fiction. You know, he is the great pretender, so to speak. I like that old song years ago. I'm the great pretender, trying to be something that I am not. And that's what Satan does. He wants to be God, and he's going to interpret God and try to trick you into thinking, oh, well, this is a good thing, that's a good thing. You know, God will give you all that you want. Just come. In fact, if you look at Luke's gospel in chapter 4, where Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days being tempted by this old guy, and we can see now all his tricks and everything that he used on Jesus, What did Jesus tell him? Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And so, and then when it was all over, Jesus resisted all the temptation. He to turn the rocks into bread and look down and I'll give you this whole world. And Jesus stayed true to his Father. And the Satan then says, well, I'm leaving now, Jesus, but I'll be back. See, he's in the world, and he's always there. We are in the world, but not of the world. And we have the right to make our own choice and our own decision. Think about the Garden of Eden, what took place. And he told Adam and Eve, oh, no, God will surely, he don't want you not to know what's good and evil. It's okay to take the bite out of that tree. Yeah, we don't know if it was an apple or not. Probably wasn't. But it was something in that tree that if you partook of it, it opened your eyes and you understood good and evil. Adam and Eve originally, they didn't have no evil. They didn't have anything around them that was evil. It was a perfect world. But God told them, don't take the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But then they were saying, well, we want to know evil. We want to knowledge and all that. And it didn't work out so good, did it? So just understand that he is out there. He's trying to mess with you. And call upon the name of the Lord, and you shall be saved. And temptation comes in. There's no doubt about that. Things on television and things in the world, or you go to a concert. There's temptations everywhere. But you know what? We don't have to act upon them. That's that freedom of choice that God given us. We have free will, but we also have the choice of whether to take on evil and believe what Satan is saying, or say, no, I am going to follow the Lord thy God with the hope of eternal life. Because Satan's gospel leads to damnation. Satan's gospel leads to death. You know, Jesus overcome and conquered death. That was the whole thing that Satan was holding over the people of Jesus' day, including even Jesus. He was trying to say, well, you're going to die, you know, you're going to die. So what did Jesus do? He stayed true to the Father. Yeah, and he went through a horrible thing with the whoopings and the beatings and all that. And then they put him under the cross, and he gave up the ghost. Now, there was something interesting that happened. Because if you remember, the priests and the people, that they used to control the people. Because you couldn't go into the Holy of Holies yourself. You had to get a priest to guide you in that. But when Jesus took all the sins to the cross of Calvary, and even then when Jesus said, oh my God, why have thou forsaken me? You're thinking, oh, God rejected him. No. God couldn't be in the presence of sin, and Jesus took all the sins of the world to that cross. And he also told the people, and he told God and asked God, because they were killing him, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. So he died on the cross. And when he gave up the ghost, that veil in the temple was rent in two, signifying that you and I have direct access to God. No longer do we need a priest. No longer do we can go and talk to God ourselves directly and receive the grace. That's a wonderful thing in its own. But they put Jesus in a tomb, and the devil's like, I got rid of that old boy now. You know, I don't worry about him no more. What did Jesus do on the third day? He rose from the dead. And it was seen by hundreds for 40 days after the resurrection. And he broke that bondage over sin and death. See, the deceiver, the Satan, and the difference between God's nature and human nature or whatever. We have hope of eternal life. Satan has been conquered. But you have to believe it and you have to accept it. And that's what we do, is we look forward to the hope that we have in Christ every day of our life. I like what the Apostle Paul said, that if we only had this life to look forward to, we'd all be a sorry bunch of puppies. But because of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, we have eternal life. Well, I'm just rambling here a little bit today, thinking about that. But does the devil go to church? Oh, yeah. He's all around. And we just got to say, Lord, help me. Help me understand. Help me with spiritual discernment, that I know in my heart of hearts the difference between good and evil. And I'm not going to fall into that trap, because I am looking forward to eternal life with Jesus. Wow, isn't that cool? Well, there's an awful lot of people that with our prayer requests and so forth, and we want to come into a prayer of agreement with them and for them. As I said many times, you don't need a preacher. You don't need an 800 number. You can go directly to God. Now, you can't go directly to the devil because he has no access, but you can go directly to God and say, Lord, I need to crawl up on your lap. I need to talk to you. And you can say and talk and pray directly, and he does hear your prayers. That's when Jesus taught the disciples the prayer that they said, Lord, can you teach us to do this thing called prayer? Oh, yeah. I want to give you a model prayer, because you can talk to God just like I can. So talk to God and use this as a model prayer for all of your prayers to line up with. That's why all the prayer requests and everything, we come into a prayer of agreement with them and for them. Because we know if we turn it all over to God, it'll be okay. This is the prayer that Jesus taught. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive them that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, hear this church, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, thank you for letting me ramble a little bit, but be aware, the devil does go to church, and you don't have to fellowship with him. I like what John Riley said. We got to love everybody. We're commanded to do that. But we don't have to go fishing with them. So keep that in mind in Jesus' name. Have a good day.